Going to continue on in our series, Life in the Kingdom of God. World peace is something we hear talked about a lot. I mean, in fact, it might be the ultimate goal of mankind to see world peace. There is the United Nations, which has being put into place in effect to keep peace in the world. Do you know in 1982, the United Nations established the International Day of Peace, and it is now held on September the 21st of every year. How many knew that? Yeah, a day of peace. And actually, the world is actually looking for more than a day of peace. But I guess one day would be a good start. On July the 6th, 2003, the New York Times printed an article about what every person should know about war. In that article, a war is defined as an act of conflict that has claimed more than 1,000 lives. Over the past 3,400 years, humans have been entirely at peace. So at a time when there hasn't been a war, where there's been 1,000 lives lost, only 268 years in the last 3,400 years. Only 8% of the time has there not been a year where less than 1,000 people have lost their lives in a war. Dr. Robert Oppenheimer, who has supervised the creation of the first atomic bomb, appeared before the Congressional Committee, and he was asked if there was any defense against the atomic bomb. And his reply was, yes. And that is peace. Peace was the only defense against the atomic bomb. What a dilemma. The world knows peace is needed. Yet it seems the more it tries to find peace, the more we try to find it, the more elusive it can be. On January the 30th, 1973, Patrice Tamino of the Dominican Republic allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. As thousands watched on television, 6-inch stainless steel spikes were driven through his hands and his feet. Tamino had planned to remain on the cross for 48 hours. But after 20 hours on the cross, his right foot became infected, and they had to take him down off the cross. The next day, the headlines of the newspapers read, "Crucifixion for peace falls short." People go to great lengths to obtain peace, but for the most part, it always seems to fall short. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." If Jesus said those who are peacemakers would be blessed, would be truly happy, then we have to say that there must be able to attain peace? I mean, blessed are the peacemakers. If we can't obtain peace, then nobody could ever be blessed. The problem is that most of us who are looking for world peace or trying to find it the wrong way. We want the governments to declare a day of peace. We want the governments to declare that there is world peace. We are a nation that will not fight, will not go to war. But the governments can declare all they want. They can make Canada and say, Canada is a nation of peace. But the truth is, it's up to the individuals in the nation to live at peace. If the people in the nation aren't willing to live at peace, then there will be no peace. We need to be peacemakers. The answer to true peace lies in the individuals of each country. Each one of us must become peacemakers. So what does Jesus mean when he's talking about being a peacemaker? Is it someone who's easygoing? Does it mean we have to make peace at any cost? Such as the man who allowed himself to be hung on that cross, crucified on that cross, or nailed to the cross. Whoa. No, it's not just appeasing others so there will be no conflict. It's not just, as some would say, being a doormat and letting people walk all over us so we can have peace. It's not continually giving to others what they want. That doesn't work. I mean, we just have to read the Old Testament and we realize that the Assyrians came and wanted to capture Jerusalem and other nations, and the other nations and Jerusalem, they would say, well, here, we'll give you all the gold we have. Just give us peace. And so they would say, oh, okay. And they would unload all their gold to the Assyrians. And then a while later, the Assyrians would come back and say, we want more gold. It doesn't work just trying to appease somebody for peace. Being a peacemaker has two aspects to it. The first is to be a passive person. A passive person is one who is not filled with aggression, one that who's not filled with quarreling. Being passive is where one would sacrifice their own preferences and needs to help meet the needs of others. A passive person is somebody who's soft-spoken. I remember a time when we were living in this one place and the couple next door, they were having a hard time in the relationship. And one day, I wasn't home, I was at work, and one day there was a conflict between the husband and the wife, and the wife came over to our home and Kathy let her in. And the husband came storming over. And Kathy went out on our porch, which was probably about 18 inches higher than the grass. Probably made her level with the fellow that came across. But he came storming across, very loud, very angry. And she just put out her hand and said, quietly in a calm voice, you can't talk to me like that. And this is what's happening. And she talked to him in a quiet and calm voice. And she just watched him as God just sort of de-escalated the whole situation. See, Kathy was a passive person at that time. If she had gone out and yelled and screamed at him, what would have he done? He would have just blown up and he might have hit her. Then there would have been trouble. The second aspect of being a peacemaker is to be one who actively pursues to make or maintain peace in the situation. It is a person who desires peace and will do all they can to see it happen. Martin Luther told a story about two goats. Each goat was on the opposite side of a huge ravine, a huge gully, a gorge that went down, and there was a rushing river down below, and the goats were on opposite sides, and there was a big tree that had fallen across the gorge. For some reason, both goats decided they wanted to go to the other side of the gorge at the same time, and they met in the middle on the log, and there they were. Face to face. They probably weren't as friendly looking as that, but they were face to face with each other. The log was too narrow and they couldn't turn around. And they both knew that if they fought one another, one would surely die, but more likely both of them would fall to their death off the log. So after a short period of time, one of the goats laid down on the log, and the other goat walked across the back of the goat that laid down and got safely to the other side. Then the first goat got up and made it safely to the other side as well. You know, the goat that laid down demonstrated what it was to be a peacemaker. He was not aggressive. He was not quarrelsome. He was passive. He was not interested in maintaining the status quo. He wasn't interested in remaining in the middle of the log for as long as it took before the other goat would back down. He actively did what he could to resolve the situation peacefully. It was probably not his preference to lie down and let the other goat walk across his back with those. I can just imagine what the, it wouldn't be like a massage. Those hooves on goats are pretty sharp. But he did what it took to create peace in the situation. A true peacemaker is not one who worries about his pride or his self-interests. I mean, really, that goat that laid down could go, I'm not lying down and letting that other goat walk across my back. But listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but humbly consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out, should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Isn't that what we saw in the goats? Isn't that what they did? They looked to the interest of others. First, that goat looked to his own interests, like, I need to get to the other side. I can't turn around. I need to get to the other side. But so does that other goat need to get to the other side because he can't turn around either. And so he made peace. If we are worried about our pride and what we will get out of making peace, then we'll never see peace. If it's all worried about what will happen to me, like I'm not going to lay down and let Andy walk across my back. Might be the best thing for my back, actually. But, you know, it's my pride. Like, I'm not going to lie on the dirty carpet. Then we'll never see peace. It will be all about us and not about others. And we won't find true peace. A true peacemaker in the biblical sense is not only a person who desires to have peace with other people, but it's also someone who desires to see other people have peace with God. The truth is, if one is not at peace with God, they cannot be really at peace. They can't experience the full peace. Oh, they might have a partial peace, but they won't experience that full peace. Who is a peacemaker? They are someone who knows God, who knows Jesus as their Savior and Lord. But they are someone who humbles themselves and will do everything they can out of a passive heart to promote peace with their fellow man. They will do what they can to promote peace between mankind and God. So what are some practical ways in our lives that reveal that we are peacemakers? I think one of the biggest things that destroys peace in our world, in treaties, in our relationships between one another, whether it's family relationships, whether it's friends, whether it's work relationships, whatever it is, I think one of the biggest things that destroys peace is what we say and how we say it. It's all about our tongue. And no wonder we are told that the tongue has the power of life and death. A few weeks ago, we talked about James 1, verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is so important as a peacemaker. We need to be people who are quick to listen. We need to be people who will let down our defense, who will let our pride be pushed aside, and not be so concerned about how it all affects me. We need to really hear what others are saying and not so quick to defend ourselves. And I have to admit, I'm a little guilty at that. I can be really quick to, no, it wasn't my fault. It was, have you ever noticed that when we're trying to defend ourselves or we're trying to make sure our way of thinking is known, that other people know what we're thinking and what we think should be? Have you ever noticed that when somebody might object a little bit and there's a bit of a discussion that it escalates a little? Well, maybe you've never noticed that. Lee's never noticed that when she's talked with me and we have a difference of opinion. The two of us are quite cut from the same cloth, as it were, and we can both escalate pretty good. And, if I only talk a little louder, then she'll hear what I'm trying to say. Every time. Yeah, probably not. But that's I had somebody sit in my office and actually tell me, because they were getting very upset with me. And I said, you can't talk to me like that. You need to keep your voice down. You can't. And they said, that's the only way anybody ever hears me is when I get loud and angry. And unfortunately, we go there. That seems to be our defense. We seem to think that the louder we are, the more people will hear us. Because God only gave us one mouth, and they've got two ears, so they can hear twice as loud as I can speak. But listen to what Proverbs 15, verse 1 says. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Oh. If Kathy had stood on the porch that morning or that day and had harsh words it would have only stirred up that gentleman's anger, and it would not have diffused. But her gentle answer turned away the wrath. I've watched over the years those who are peacemakers. They don't escalate when others do. Their calmness and quiet manner will usually bring the tension in the room down. It is hard to argue and yell when someone is just talking quietly and softly to you. It's hard to get upset with somebody who is just passive and calm and just laying out the truth in love. Here's another point. When we go camping with our grandsons, and when we're camping with them, as soon as the vehicles stop in the parking lot and they're out of the parking lot, the first things that are out of their mouths is, "Can we build a fire?" And they start to build a fire. And once the fire's going, you can be sure there's no sticks or twigs or little tiny pieces of bark in our campsite anymore, because they've picked them all up and they've thrown them into the fire. But the boys are getting older now and they can use an axe and they chop wood and they throw it into the fire and the fire blazes. And I think if you allowed them to, we would have a fire at our campsite 24/7. It would never, ever go out. They just continually find more wood and put it on the fire. My son brings a truckload of wood when he comes camping. But you know, after the grandchildren go to bed, we don't have to put as much firewood on the fire. And eventually, we stop putting wood on the fire and the fire goes out. Proverbs 26:20 tells us just that. Without wood, a fire goes out. And then the writer goes on to say, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Without gossip, there's peace. Sometimes gossip is juicy and it's hard to resist listening to it. Oh, what have you got to say about so-and-so? Oh, wow, I didn't know that. But chances are you're not going to keep that gossip to yourself either. Chances are you're going to go and say, "Hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. Let me tell you what they did." If we gossip or slander, we will never bring peace. If we are known as someone who talks about others, we will never be able to be a peacemaker. Nobody's going to come and ask us for advice. "You know what? I'm having troubles in my marriage. Can I just come and talk to you?" "No, I don't want to come and talk to you because you're going to share my troubles in my marriage with Joe." And pretty soon, everybody will know. Or whatever our struggle is. Gossiping only throws wood on the fire. Our tongues can be instruments of throwing wood on the fire. We are called to be peacemakers. A peacemaker is one who holds or bites his tongue. He doesn't say things he knows will only hurt. He finds the positive and focuses on building others up, making sure they know the good. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't confront a person when they do something wrong. We still need to confront a person, but we need to do it in truth and love. We are instructed in Hebrews 12 and 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Make every effort to live in peace with just these folks in this room. No, it says with all men, with those who brush us the wrong way. A peacemaker is, as a peacemaker, it's our responsibility to do what we can do to live at peace with all people. We need to be the ones taking the initiative in speaking to others, to offering the olive branch, as it were. That might mean we need to be the one who apologizes to them or be friendly to those who just push us the wrong way. As a peacemaker, we need to be approachable. If we are self-centered and others feel that we only care about what we want and our things, and I'm sure that's a lot of the issue between parents and children. The children think the parents only care about what they want, and the parents think the children only care about what they want. But if we would allow others to think that we care and love them, then we're approachable. But if my wife thinks that all I care about is what I want, then she's not even going to come and talk to me about something that she wants. Because she's just going to think that I'm just going to shut it down right now, and that's the end of it. And I'm the man of the house, so what I say goes. It doesn't work. It won't bring peace. The ultimate example of a peacemaker is God Himself. 5 times in the New Testament, God is noted as God of peace. Truly, the answer to the question, why did God send Jesus, is because God is a peacemaker. He sent Jesus because there was a big rift, a big valley between man and God. And there was only one way to create peace, and that was for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. God did not look to pay us back evil for evil. For if He did, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't even be here. No, He made a way where there was no way. He made a way where there could be peace between every man, woman, and child in Him. He did not compromise His character in doing it, but did it out of love. He made Himself approachable to all of us. There's no one that can't approach God because He loves every man, woman, and child. He has their interest, our interest, at heart. God's plan for peace was through Jesus, who Isaiah calls the Prince of Peace. Isaiah also wrote this in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, proclaims, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Without a doubt, this scripture is talking about Jesus. How beautiful is His feet on the mountains as He brings good news, as he brings salvation to all mankind. But it needs to also refer to those who follow Him. Those who of us who call ourselves Christians, it needs to refer to us. may we be those beautiful feet in our community who bring the good news, who proclaim salvation, who proclaim peace as peacemakers to those in our community. I'd like to read these words in conclusion. You know, for a pastor, that means there's only another 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so. But I'd like to read these words of Francis Assisi. So it was a prayer of his, and this is what he wrote. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Boy, there's a powerful truth in that prayer. May we be peacemakers. And you know, as we are, we will be blessed. We will be truly happy. God has called us to be peacemakers. And as we are, we will be called the children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are the ultimate peacemaker, that you would send the Prince of Peace to come and pay the price for our sins so that we could accept that wonderful gift of peace and become peacemakers for you. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in our lives, and that you would be exalted in the name of Jesus. Watch over us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.